The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Welcome to the Big Red Bench Ladies Football Podcast with me, your host, Ger McCarthy. You can follow me on Twitter at GerMcCarthy74. In the second of our special two-part TG Cahir All-Ireland Senior Ladies Football Final previews, we hear from the Cork camp ahead of their clash with defending champions Dublin. Aoife Fitzgerald joins us on this special edition to talk about the challenge of facing Dublin, as well as his respect for McBowen and the Dublin team. We'll also hear from Cork players Dieran O'Sullivan, Orla Finn, Roisin Phelan and Orla Farmer, as well as injured defender Laura O'Mahony, plus the Cork PRO Peter O'Leary. That's all to come on this week's Big Red Bench Ladies Football Podcast. It has been an unprecedented year for ladies football. Now, Aoife Fitzgerald and his Cork team are one game away from winning an All-Ireland title. Taking on Dublin will not be easy, but the Cork manager and his players are ready for the challenge.
We're closing in, Aoife, on another All-Ireland final for you and for this particular bunch of players. You've seen Dublin before, they've seen you. Without giving the details away, how do you approach coming up to the final? Are you more focused on yourselves and your own game rather than worrying about the opposition?
Yeah, well, a bit of both, but I think we have to focus. We've certainly been focusing more on our own game this year. I suppose we're fresh after COVID. You know, we brought in a few girls and, you know, the panel is, you know, it's going very well. But Dublin, you know, if you look at their forward line, I think most of those girls have been playing together for 10 years. So they have a lot of experience. You know, they know how to close out games. You know, they went to raise the tempo. I think Lindsay Davies has been playing, you know, the best footballer of her career this year. And, you know, so Calero, they have threats all over the pitch, Noel Healy. So, you know, we're not under any illusion. I suppose we know what we're facing. You know, they have a lot of pace and power. But we've been working very, very hard ourselves. You know, we're in a good place, I think, and we've incrementally got better as the games have gone on. So we're looking forward to the game. But with regard to the question, I think we focus more on ourselves than rather on Dublin.
I was really impressed with the way your defenders turned over possession in the semi-final. It's something you've gotten really good at, the tackling aspect. Is that something you've been focusing on, yeah, or is it just acclimatized over a period of time?
No, we do work very hard on it. And I think, you know, if you look at Dublin, they brought the game to a new level of physicality. I think, you know, one of the problems with the game really, you know, is the ticks. You know, you're not sure who has a tick or who has two ticks and, you know, where you're going. And I think that needs to be looked at. I would prefer, certainly, if it was a yellow card, the referee could use his discretion if it was a yellow card, red card type of thing. But that's for another day. But certainly, we're working hard on, I suppose, on increasing the tempo of our game, you know, with and without the ball. And it's not just the defenders, you know, turning over. I think our forwards have been working very, very hard as well. And that's something we've worked on, certainly in training as well. It's not just the six backs or the two midfielders. You know, it's everybody's responsibility to defend. And if Orla Finn ends up cornerback, you know, chasing somebody, you have no issue with that. You know, so it's just that hard work element. But I think we certainly have improved that.
You've also got people that can, you know, bother and give the Dublin backs issues that when you flip that coin. Your full forward line, I've talked to you about it before, and I've talked to the girls themselves. Work rate is phenomenal. I mean, you start your defending there.
You do, and I think, thanks be to God, Dieran has had a very good block of training. You know, that girl has been so misfortunate with injuries over the years. She's a fantastic footballer, but she's trained really hard over the last couple of months, and hopefully, you know, we can keep her fit over the next while. Likewise, Saoirse Noonan had a cruciate problem, but she really worked so hard on her fitness, you know, when she couldn't play. And Anya Terry, likewise. So, you know, those girls would always been seen as very good footballers, but, you know, wouldn't have been that fond of the defensive element of it. So I think that certainly has improved. And, you know, we pride ourselves now on defending from the front. So from their kick out, we're looking to turn them over. Now, it's not easy, obviously, when the goalkeeper's kicking the ball out of their hands, but at least we want to put them under as much pressure as we can. And I think we did that fairly successfully against Galway last week.
And equally, what you've been doing is incrementally getting better. You've only had three games. Now, I know Dublin have had the same, but it's a very unusual championship in that regard, in that you don't have as much time to correct the errors or the things that you might be seeing. But is that not a bad thing because the players don't have time? They're just thinking of the next game and they're straight into it.
Yeah, they are. But I think we've had a good block of training. You know, since we came back in September, you know, we played Dublin actually in a challenge match, the only game we played prior to the Kerry one, and I think they beat us by 3 goals. But that was our first game, and they had been, you know, they were preparing for Donegal, so they would have been a few weeks ahead of us in terms of their preparation. So I think we've improved dramatically since then. Obviously, there was an addition of a few players as well. So, but Sunday week, I suppose, it'll be a strange game. You know, in Croke Park last week, you could hear the birds flying nearly. You know, it's a strange experience when you're so used to having crowds there. But But at the end of the day, I think what we're doing this year is we're just focusing on the fact that it's a game, and we're going to try and win a game of football. And the other resume it has, you know, is we'll, you know, we're not that interested in that. It's just I think the team has matured, even though we have brought on some young players, and we have quite a splattering of experience as well. Obviously, with Ciara, Martina, and Hutch, and those girls. But I think we're more pragmatic, and there's more, you know, we're more level headed going into this game. There's no, you know, there wasn't any celebrating after the Galway match. You know, it was just a case of put the head down and let's get ready for 2 weeks' time.
And just on that, like the maturity you'd expect it from the experienced players, but I've been looking at a lot of the younger players, like Eric O'Shea, who's come up, the Coileys, some of the players that wouldn't be used to this level of intensity over a short period of time. They're used to it to a certain degree from coming up through the ranks, but they look like over the last three games, not just the last day, that they have slotted in, and they're being, you mentioned the communication, it's the one thing with your team, and it's the same with Dublin. Non-stop talking, non-stop communication from Martina right through the middle up to Dirk, and that's going to be hugely important in the Ireland final.
It is, particularly from the older girls, and you know, Hutch is probably our leader and defensive leader in that. Martina is very vocal. Roisin Phelan, obviously coming back, has been a huge addition with her experience, and she's a very calm individual, and her know she reads the game very well. So you know, that's fitted in very well, I think. And Eric O'Shea then on the other side of it is a young girl coming into the scene, and Melissa. So yeah. You know, so we have and Shauna Kelly has really, you know, again has worked so hard on her fitness, as has Emma Coyley. So I think they're reaping the rewards of that, and you know, we're very fresh, very fit, and we have a lot of pace in our team now as well, which, you know, I think you know, in the modern game you certainly need girls to be able to break the line and break tackles and that, and being able to move Hannah Looney back out to midfield from full back has been a help as well, you know. So all in all, I think the shape of the team is very good, but it will be tested. I mean, I would say the two best teams in the country are in the final. So you know, since I've come in, we've lost the final and the semi-final to Dublin. We've beaten them in our first year, so there's not a whole lot between us. The league matches, we would have won some and lost some. So you know, we've lost the last couple of championship games to Dublin, but we're certainly looking forward to it. I mean, what's gone in the past isn't that relevant, to be honest. You know, people ask me about Dublin, they're going for 4 in a row. Yeah, they are, but Dublin had lean period before that, you know, where they lost 4 or 5 finals, I think. So you know, the swings and roundabouts. So it's it'll be an interesting game, but you know, from our point of view, I suppose our aim over the next, you know, we have 4 or 5 sessions left, is that everybody will come through unscathed. But we're going to work hard this week now and make sure we keep ourselves well grounded. And next week we'll go to Dublin, as I say, full of confidence. And you know, but we know, you know, if we dwell too much on Dublin, you're thinking, well, they've won 3 All-Irelands. You know, that kind of inhibits your preparation and probably your mental preparation more than anything else. So we'll just focus on the things we do well and hope that if we do those, as we discussed earlier, the defending and moving the ball quickly, then I think we have a right chance.
There is, without, and it's not pandering, there's a lot of mutual respect, I think, between the two managers. Definitely McMorrin is somebody that respects you an awful lot, and I know you think the same. But I get the impression, because even from speaking to Roisin Phelan, that the Dublin players, obviously they want to win and they're going to be very focused on winning, and that's all they care about. But there is respect for what this Cork team has done over the last couple of years. Is that something you would...
Yeah, I'd have massive respect, you know, for me. I actually built up a great relationship with them over the last couple of years. You know, likewise with Peter Leahy, Maxine Donegal, you know, we'd all get on very well together. So, we appreciate, you can talk about Dublin, you know, there's big debates about Dublin being very good, particularly the men's side of it. But the rest of us really have to try and catch up. I mean, that's my view on it. I mean, if you look at the hurling championship since time immemorial, there was 3 teams winning. It was Cork, Tipperary, Kilkenny. You know, and people forget that. And you have 3s in a row and 4s in a row and 5. No, I know Dublin have 5 in a row. But, you know, I don't think Kerry, you know, Kerry were caught this year, certainly. Donegal maybe a little bit as well. So when you look at it, I think a knee-jerk reaction is saying we need to split Dublin or put them in 4. And I think that would... You know, you're losing the county scene then, and I certainly wouldn't be in agreement with that. And likewise with the ladies, there's a feeling there that because of the volume of kids they have, ladies they have playing football above, that they may take over. But the challenge is there for us. I mean, I think Kerry have 100,000 people in the county, and look, they're 36 All-Ireland, so it doesn't always work like that. No. So I'm a great believer in we have to rise to the challenge and try and raise our fitness levels and raise our professionalism, and I think we've done that. And when, you know, I think a rising tide lifts all boats. So, you know, we've looked at it and we've taken her on board and we've worked on the things we felt we needed to work on. We obviously needed to bring in new players, and I think our panel is much stronger now than it was a few years ago. And that leads itself to being much sharper in training then. So all in all, there's there's a plus plus. And as I say, with the Dublin girls, I've been on an all-star trip with the Dublin girls, and we had great crack. You know, the Dublin and Cork girls would be great buddies off the pitch, and they're very humble girls as well. You know, they're not spoiled by success. You know, they have the likes of Niamh McAvoy and Noel Healy, and those girls are very, very pleasant, and you know, they're doing their level best for their county, as ours are. So next Sunday we'll be going at it, the pair of us, but after the game we'll shake hands and we'll wish one another happy Christmas and get on with it.
And just on that finally, because it's been such an unusual year, because the championship has worked out the way it has, there has been an awful lot of very, very good games in the championship, and that's been great because a lot of new eyeballs have been on it, they mightn't have seen it before the way it was spaced out. But a final between the two best teams in the country, I think it's a fair comment. I think they are the two best squads in the country. Definitely. You obviously want to win, it would mean a lot to you and to the girls, but a final for the Cork supporters, for the year that they've had, and the supporters, the true supporters of Cork ladies football, irrespective of the result, I think the performance and doing the county proud, that comes first, the result looks after itself. But how much would it mean to you personally after this kind of year to win that All-Ireland title?
Honestly, not as much as the girls being safe and coming home to their families in one piece. And that's hand on heart, and I've been that way.
You've been all that way from
The most important thing for me is, like, as manager, normally as manager of teams, you're thinking, of course you have to look after the football side of it. But I have two great coaches with me, and Paddy O'Shea more than two really, Brian. There's lots of them there, and they do a great job. My job is to look after the girls, make sure they're managed, obviously oversee training and all of that. But the most important thing for me is that, you know, a lot of those girls are living with grandparents, or, you know, would have contact with grandparents. They're teachers, and, you know, Roisin Phelan is working in Dublin as a dentist. So making sure that they're safe and that they get home to their families. I mean, the other night, I asked the girls to text into the group once they got home, and once Anya Terry had texted in at 11 o'clock or half 11 or what time it was, I just said, sleep well, girls. I was delighted. And genuinely, Ger, that's my feeling on the whole thing. Like, I've been around long enough to know, you know, I have daughters their age, so you know exactly. A lot of those girls are very, very young. And I think, for me, it's a holistic development for them, not just the fact that they're good footballers, of course they are, but they also have other issues in their life, and we like to think that we're there for them, and no matter what crops up, be it sports psychology or be it off the field stuff that we could give them a hand with, it could be references, it could be anything, that we're looking after the girls, because they give so much to this. For me, at my stage of life, it's a case of trying to provide the best for them on the pitch and off the pitch. And as I say, what would it mean to me personally? It would mean, okay, it's another All-Ireland title, that's fine, but it would also mean that we've developed a very, very strong squad going forward, and I think the only way is up for us regardless of the result next week. I think the future for Cork football is very, very positive. I mean, when you look, and I know it's 3 years now since the majority of the girls left, you know, the arenas and regionals, it's taken, you know, we've been very competitive, which is the most important. I think we've won 3 league titles, and we've won couple of months of titles and whatnot, so the next step is to win the All-Ireland. But it's not just that, it's the fact that we're developing players, and we're not just developing as footballers, we're developing as human beings. And you know, we have small things when we leave the dressing rooms, we leave them clean, and you know, we're respectful to people when we go away, all of that type of stuff. And you know, and I want my girls to be good role models for the younger ones coming, and that's why it upsets me so much to see, you know, the treatment that was meted out last week in terms of the going to Dublin in the first place, and you know, having to change venues and all of that. It just, I think those girls deserve every bit of as much as their male counterparts. I mean, but personally, I do think the professional of the game, as we discussed earlier there, has outgrown the association in a sense. You know, and by that I mean, it's not that the people working in the LGFA aren't doing good jobs, I'm not saying that at all, but we don't have any pitches, we don't have major sponsorship, you know, the girls don't get a whole lot of exposure. So for me, the natural, you know, progression would be an amalgamation with the GAA. I think it would be so good for both the GAA, for society in general. I mean, we've made so much progress with the LG stuff and the LGBT, and the you know, the homophobic stuff and all of that. You know, like, we are certainly a more liberal society now. You know, we welcome people into the country, and you know, I think we've really become cosmopolitan. And you know, I think the next step for us, you know, in Ireland really is to, you know, the GAA, I suppose the association, if it does embrace women and brings them into the fold, I think it can only benefit both the GAA itself, but also the country and the product going forward, because I think the ladies football is a fantastic product, you know, and the more exposure it gets. I mean, if that was a double header with the game last Sunday, wouldn't it have been, you know, a fantastic spectacle, you know? And they're the things that, you know, I hope to work for all the next couple of years, or for as long as I'm involved. Not just the fact that we want Cork to be competitive, I think that's always the case, but we also want to, I certainly personally anyway, always want to further what I think needs to be done in terms of what the girls are entitled to, you know, and as I say, expenses would be a big thing for me, you know, that they get the achieve, you know, proper. Nobody should be out of pocket for playing for their county, I believe, because of the amount of time and effort they put in. But we'll keep pushing, and hopefully, like, I'm hoping that Sunday might be a watershed. I think there's maybe some political will as well needed there to push this on. But for now, and for the next week and a half, we'll just focus on the game, and as I say, after that, we'll see where it takes us. But certainly, I think, you know, if anything comes of last Sunday from a positive point of view, and that the girls, a lot of the situation of amalgamation is looked at, then I think that will be positive.
The Big Red Bench. Game on. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Cork captain Dermot O'Sullivan has played a pivotal role in helping guide Cork to this year's All-Ireland decider. The Mourne Abbey star is hoping to end the most unusual of years on a high at Croke Park this weekend.
Cork captain Dermot O'Sullivan, it is a really exciting time for the Cork football squad leading into another All-Ireland final appearance. You must be yourself as captain. It's a lovely honour for you and for the Mourne Abbey club. How much are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, as you said there, Jared, is hugely exciting. Never, I suppose, in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be playing an All-Ireland final on the 20th of December in Croke Park. So it's something new, and it is very, very exciting, and something we're really looking forward to.
It was very cold in Dublin for that Galway semi-final. At least you were able to run around the pitch and try to keep warm. Not that anyone cares about the media, but I think the fact that she got to play in Croke Park, for a lot of the younger players, Darren, that's a big bonus.
Absolutely. It's probably one of the only positives we could have taken from the weekend in terms of the fixture, change of fixtures. I was actually on the way to the match on the bus, and I was trying to do a bit of self-talk and talk to myself and be like, you're okay, this is fine. Deep breaths now, relax. And then I was like, oh my God, Darren, think about the girls who it's their first time, like the likes of Erica and Emer Kylie had never started in Croke Park. So look, for those girls and the whole panel, it was actually, in hindsight now, a huge benefit and very beneficial and a huge advantage getting to play our semi-final in Croke Park.
Obviously, the preparations are going to intensify over the final few training sessions under Efi and Paddy and the backroom team. But you've got a base in Clidove. Things have gone well for you this year. You've built slowly, Dermot, from the Kerry game, the second half of the Kerry game, the full Cavan game, and then the full match against Galway the last day. You've been slowly building, and things look like they're coming to a head now just at the right time.
Yeah, look, I don't want to jinx us, but I suppose something you want to do in every game is improve, and we have been doing that. Our stats are going in the right direction. Our tackle count is going up. Our shot selection is better. So, look, things do seem to be coming together, but anything can happen on All-Ireland final day, so we'll have to prepare and tick all the boxes and control all the things that we can, that are in our control.
From previously facing Dublin, Dern, you know that you have to step it up. Everyone does. But does that automatically raise everyone's game, the fact that they know now they're going up against a four-in-a-row chasing All-Ireland champion?
Yeah, look, something I actually think that's worked really well for us this year is focusing on ourselves and what we can bring to the game, throw everything we have with the opposition and see how they react. We've loads of strengths within our squad. I suppose we pace youth and a nice mixture of youth and experience. So obviously we'll give Dublin the respect they deserve in terms of our homework and preparation, video analysis. But the focus in 2 weeks' time will be on what we can do as a team.
You've been here before. You know what's involved. You know what's involved in the build-up. How important is it how difficult is it to keep focused? I mean, somebody as experienced as yourself, and you're getting to an All-Ireland final, and especially this year when it's so late in the year.
Yeah, look, there are a lot of distractions, I suppose, at the moment with everything going on with COVID and with Christmas around the corner. It is going to be a challenge, I suppose, for a lot of us to stay 100% focused on the 20th of December. It's just 60 minutes of football between us and an All-Ireland final. The prize is huge. So the motivation is there to stay focused, and we will do just that.
It would be easy to list off all the players at Dublin and the talent that they possess. A former Moran Abbey player in there as well, someone you know quite well. But you also on the Cork team have plenty of talent and young talent coming through, but it has all the hallmarks of a cracking final for the neutral. I know you're only focused on yourselves and from Cork, but from a footballing point of view, it should be a fast, open and high-octane game.
Yeah, look, I think the teams are actually extremely evenly matched. Both teams have huge pace, strength, power, all over the field. Both have some top quality forwards. So I do think it could be and has the ingredients to be an unbelievable All-Ireland final for a neutral, and hopefully it'll take ladies football to a new level.
Indeed, I think the positive headlines that could come out of such a final would be good for ladies football, considering the year that's gone by with the pandemic and everything. But obviously you're putting all that out of your minds right now. Can you give me an idea of just how intense the final couple of training sessions are coming up to an All-Ireland final? Because we've said this before, Darren, throughout the season when we've had the opportunity to interview you here on the Big Red Bench. Competition for places is one thing, it's almost a cliche, but in Cork and Dublin's case, there are 30 serious players, more than 30 serious players, looking to get on the panel.
Yeah, absolutely. The competition for places is unbelievable. We've 38 girls in our squad, as you know, and only 30 get named. Thankfully, those other 8 girls got to go to the match on Sunday and will get to go to the All-Ireland final. So that's a huge boost to have our whole squad with us. We're all in it together. But the competition to get on that starting 15 and to be lucky enough to be the 5 who are brought on is what is motivating us to tick those boxes and go that extra mile. Not only on the field but off the field as well, in terms of nutrition, sleep, gym. You have to tick all those boxes now or you're not going to be started. Like if you're not working on the field, someone will come in and do your job for you. So no matter how many All-Ireland All-Ireland medals you have, just take Kira for example, one of the more experienced players on our team. Like if she's not putting in the work or she's not doing what she's been asked, I suppose there is someone else on the sideline who will take her place. So training sessions over the next 2 weeks are going to be manic. Yeah.
And we should say your point there is well made, but that applies to every player, not just Kira, because Kira, we don't want Kira getting angry when she hears this.
I felt I couldn't insult any other teammates the way I can insult my sister. So
fair point. Fair point. It's a good point. Listen, just finally, one of the hallmarks of this Cork team, for all the talent that you have and for all the football and for all the skill and the experience, one thing that has struck me this year from being up close and watching all your games, Darren, is the communication, the way you talk to each other, the way you gee yourselves up, the way from Martina in goal right up to you in the full forward line, and Anya Terry and Saoirse, when a turnover is made, the way you get behind each other, the way you talk and keep everything, and especially when the ball is at the opposite end of the pitch, you're always organising, and it's not just one or two players, it's the entire team, and it's been a real hallmark of Cork this year.
Yeah, I'd actually be cringing when I'm watching back the matches when I hear how loud myself and Martina are. I used to think she was extremely loud, but I actually watch back Sunday's game now and I'm audible as well. But look, it's a huge part of the game now is communication. It's such a fast-moving game. There's so much pace to it that you have to be organised or you will get caught. And like we are, I suppose, encouraging each other and, as you said, geeing each other up and like we don't have a crowd. So if you think about it, our subs and our management and us, we are our crowd. We are our supporters as well as the players. So we've had to double up this year, I suppose, in that regard. But like it just is a huge boost if you get a turnover or if you win a kick out, anything like that, just to get the pat in the back or get the shout from someone telling you you're doing a good job, it makes those hard runs a bit easier. I think we were mocking Hannah Looney in the dressing room afterwards. Like she tears and shouts for herself, and she'd be fist pumping for herself when she does stuff well.
I noticed that actually.
Yeah, there's actually a class picture of her after the game, just fist pumping and stuff. So look, it is a new thing this year with COVID, not having supporters at the match, that we support each other on the field as well as off the field.
Well, look, on behalf of everybody at the Big Red Bench and Cork Shred FM, we wish you all the best on All Ireland Ladies Football Day, and let's hope we're doing some fist pumping afterwards.
Thanks very much.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Kinsale's Orla Finn will once again have responsibility for taking Cork's frees in this year's All-Ireland final meeting with Dublin. The Big Red Bench Ladies Football podcast caught up with Finn to hear how much she is looking forward to the biggest game of her career.
9 points in an All-Ireland semi-final is some return, but we've come to expect it from somebody as talented and as experienced as you, Orla. Orla Finn, first of all, congratulations on reaching the All-Ireland, and a very important day for Cork Ladies Football.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ger. It's fantastic to be back in another All-Ireland final, and I suppose this year will be a very memorable year with all that has gone on over the last few months, so it is really nice to be back in an All-Ireland final again in 2 weeks' time.
Indeed. Let's talk about football matters, much more positive. 9 points in the semi-final. At this time of the year, it's worth remembering that somebody with responsibility for frees, and I watched you in Tralee and I watched you in Birr in County Offaly in pretty awful conditions. Not easy. Very, very difficult. It's difficult enough to have the responsibility for taking frees to begin with. But in the conditions at this time of the year, it's something else that you've had to become acclimatised to.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose you just have to go out an extra day yourself. And just do a bit more kicking than you would even in the summertime, and just get used to the conditions. But I suppose yesterday I was lucky, you know, the surface and everything in Croke Park is just unbelievable, so that did help. And the conditions, the weather, there was no wind or anything there, so all of these factors do help when you're taking frees. And as most forwards know, you know, playing on a day where there's very little wind is always a joy to play in.
You're part of a pretty potent forward line, including Ciara Sullivan, who weighed in with 1-2, and Melissa Duggan, who popped up from the back to score a fantastic goal. Your West Cork, or former West Cork teammate, a good day for her as well.
Yeah, definitely. We have a very strong team this year, and I think we're really gelling as a team, which maybe we weren't doing over the last number of years. Melissa, yeah, she's in flying form this year, and she's even taken on more responsibility by going forward as well, and she's so fit she's able to get back and defend at the same time. So, no, it's brilliant having that pace coming through the middle and giving us options too.
You must be pleased with your own form, though, over the last couple of games, and especially the semi-final.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose this year I've been given a new role out wing forward, so it just took a little bit of time to adapt to that. It's a different position to play in instead of just in the full forward line where I was over the last number of years, just in front of the goal. But no, I do like my new role as wing forward, and I think we're all, as I said, we're all going very well this year, you know, given the conditions and everything. I think we are really gelling as a team, so hopefully we can bring that forward now in 2 weeks' time to the All-Ireland final.
Indeed, you most certainly will have to, as you know better than anyone when it comes to facing Dublin. You need to bring your A game in an All-Ireland final situation as well. Obviously, Mick Bowen has been playing fantastic football over the last number of years. They're going for four in a row. But does that take the pressure off you and Cork a little bit in that they will be favourites?
Yeah, definitely. I think all the pressure is on Dublin to get that four in a row, and I think we'll go out there now and just give it our all. And I think if we do put in a good performance and all play like we can play, that we'll be in with a good chance. But as I say, we're all just delighted to be back in another All-Ireland final. We lost the semi-final last year, so it is great to be going back out playing on All-Ireland final day. So it's a day that we're really looking forward to.
It's an unusual time of the year to be playing anything, let alone inter-county Gaelic football. How happy are you, though, overall, that you're actually getting the opportunity to play?
Yeah, so happy. You know, at the start of this year in March, when all this happened, I really thought that there would be no football this year at all, and we got to play clubs, and now being able to play intercounty is just unbelievable too. It's a strange Christmas for everyone as it is. It will be very strange 5 days before Christmas Day to be playing in Croke Park in an All-Ireland final, but I think it's going to make Christmas, and there's a great buzz between now and the All-Ireland final, so you know, I'm just really looking forward to it.
Does this give you an easy, and all the Cork players, an easy out when it comes to getting Christmas presents for people that you were just too busy?
I hope so. I haven't started mine yet, so maybe I can use that line.
Very good. Can I ask you as well just about having your teammates, Cuívo Callan and especially Saif O'Leary, who's made a bit of an impact off the bench over the last few games. I know you know those two players' talent and what they bring to the team, but for Saif to come on and score a goal against Cavan the way she did, and also to come on and make a contribution against Galway the last day, you must be delighted for her.
Yeah, definitely. She's been on the panel now the last 2 years, and she's a fantastic player. And you know, she's the more games she comes on, and she's getting more confidence and to take on the ball and to take her own scores. So it was great to see her score her first point in Croke Park yesterday, and I'm sure she was delighted going home.
She speaks very highly of you any time we interview, so you've obviously had an influence on her and Cuíva as well. To be fair, how much of a boost have you and the other more experienced players been given this year with the likes of Eric O'Shea, Saif, and the Kylies coming onto the team and making an impact?
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. As I said, over the last number of years, we've always been saying, you know, we've been going through a transition of the older players leaving and the younger girls coming up. But I think, you know, they really have stepped up to the mark over the last few years. Eric O'Shea is an unbelievable player. She's a huge addition to the team. You know, her first day out yesterday in Croke Park, and to play like she did, she had a great game. So it's a great boost for the whole team to have these younger girls coming in and just stepping up to the mark and playing senior football.
Obviously, over the next week or so, with the intensity of training that you've had, and especially coming up to an All-Ireland final, things are going to have to ramp up even more so because of the opposition. How excited are you, though, about walking out an All-Ireland final and facing Dublin?
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, I'm actually delighted that Dublin were meeting in an All-Ireland final, because we haven't beaten them in championship in a few years. And I think this year we're going in and we're feeling quite confident. You know, Dublin will be an unbelievable team. They really are. You know, they've shown over the last 3 years what they can do. So it will be a very, very tough game for us. But I think we are very focused this year, and with the strange year that it is, you never know what could happen on the day.
And just finally, from your own point of view, obviously it's been a very disjointed year, as you said, for both club and county, but inter-county, sorry. But finishing it off with an All-Ireland title would be fantastic. But this is, by far and away, Cork's probably toughest test over the last 2, maybe 3 years.
Yeah, it is. Dublin are just something else. They're an outstanding side. They're very physical, they're very fit. So it will be a big test to us. We've played well in the last number of games we had in championship this year, so hopefully we can just bring it up another level going into the All-Ireland final in 2 weeks' time. And as I say, winning an All-Ireland at Christmas would be the best Christmas present we could ask for.
The Big Red Bench. Game on. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
O'Donovan Rossa and West Cork's Laura O'Mahony missed out on this year's All-Ireland Inter-County Championship due to injury. Thankfully, O'Mahony's rehab is going well, and the young defender is delighted to get the chance to travel to Croke Park with the squad for Sunday's final.
We're joined on the Big Red Bench Ladies Football Podcast now by a player who has missed out this season because of injury, but is still a very, very important part of Cork Ladies Football's future, and that is O'Donovan Rossa from the club in Skibbereen and West Cork's Laura O'Mahony. Laura, how are you?
Good, thanks, Jerry. Yeah, no, I'm busy out at the moment with all my college work, load of assignments, because my course is continuous assessment, so they're all building up now for their final dates in a few weeks.
Well, it's good to hear that you're busy. For those who don't know, a partial tear of your crucial ligament early in the year ended your season, not long after you'd made a big impression in the National League. First of all, how is the rehab going, and what is the diagnosis for the near and long-term future?
Good so far, anyway. Yeah, I was firstly misdiagnosed to say that I had a possible fracture on my patella, but I found out by going to a new rehab and physio that it's not that I have a pelvic tilt, and all the miscommunication or misalignment with my hips is making just extra pressure on my ligaments, and that's kind of how I did it. But regards to rehab, it's going good. I have to do my exercises every day for around a half an hour or so. But it's a nice break to get away from the study. And, you know, when I don't have training these days, it's nice to be doing something at least.
Yes, and important too that you rehab and that your body gets a chance to recover and that you'll be ready to go when the time comes next year, whenever that is, not just for Cork, but also for West Cork. Obviously, this past year winning the county championship. I know your dad was involved in the background there as well. And Skibbereen getting to a county junior final. You know, it must have been difficult. I mean, it's a silly question to ask. How difficult has it been? Are you a good person to stand on the sideline and watch a match?
Yeah, sure. Look, there is a sense of disappointment when teams that you're involved with get to big games like that. Like, I think the worst was with Skib, especially since we lost as well, so far anyway, that I just found it really hard to, that I couldn't help the girls and things. But again, like the disappointment aspect, that's kind of overshined by the fact how well the teams have gotten and how well they're doing. And the fact that the success is there this year only shows that I have a chance to be a part of that maybe next year and the years to come.
Absolutely, both for club and for county. I'm absolutely 100% sure we will see you racing up and down that sideline when the time comes next year, fully fit. From your vantage point, Laura, you've had the added advantage of watching the Cork team develop over the past three matches, the win in Kerry, the win up in Offaly against Cavan, and this past weekend against Galway. The team has been slowly improving with each game, and now on the horizon lies probably the biggest challenge, and that's the Dubs.
Yeah, no, like, I was only able to go to the Galway game this past weekend, but just even watching the ones on television on Facebook and then being at the game, the improvement in the girls in the Galway game was literally, like, it was like nothing else. Like, they didn't even give Galway a chance to get into the game. They were shouting, roaring. It just looked like they wanted it more, and that's what you need, especially in preparation for Dublin. Like, everyone knows they've the one last three, they're raring to win the next one. So I just hope that the girls can take their attitude from the Galway game and use that in the next couple of training sessions and just prove to everyone how good they can be and how good they're good enough to beat Dublin in a few weeks.
I have to ask you, Laura, how frustrating was it not to be allowed go to the Offaly and Cavan game? I know you're injured and I know there's only a limit on the 30 players, but it seems now a little bit too much, does it, in terms of restrictions?
Yeah, look, I just didn't really understand, you know, when there'd be a load of photographers, journalists at games and things, that girls that had been training with the panel for how many numbers of weeks that they just couldn't go to the games. Like, especially not even me, just the eight that were in the extended panel. Like, it must be really hard for them to go to trainings all the time and then just not to be allowed. And other people that are outside the training panel aren't allowed, and then, you know.
Very true, and I can tell you the media would happily have given up our tickets if it meant you could have gotten in to any of those matches, but thankfully it won't be an issue in the future. Can I also ask you, based on what you've seen and based on your involvement in and around the Cork team, like, you've played at Croke Park, how important was it for the likes of Eric O'Shea and for the Kylies and the younger members of that Cork team to get that experience last weekend against Galway?
Oh, it's incredible. Like, you grow up and Croke Park is the big aim for you as a child. And when I played there in the league against Dublin, like, even last year in the semi-final against Dublin, just running out under the stadium onto the pitch is literally what you dream of. And I suppose Erica didn't have much time to prepare herself for the fact that she'd have her debut there on Sunday, but look, she passed the test with flying colours. She was super fair play to her. And just the Kylies, the Kylies are super. They know what they're doing all the time. They're so laid back and it suits them. But it means a lot. Like, it is the stadium that everyone in the country looks up to playing to. And yeah.
Going into an All-Ireland final against Dublin is a big task, as you know, and everyone in the squad knows. It's very, very important now that the intensity in training, it's bound to step up over the next week. How important is it, though, that the girls just turn up on the day, play to the best of their ability and not worry about what would be a very unusual and unique occasion, an All-Ireland final with no fans?
Yeah, look, in the past couple of years, there's always been almost fear of Dublin, and girls sometimes forget that Cork are the ones that have beaten them for for 10 years before that. So they just need to remember that. To be fair, the COVID situation didn't faze them one bit on Sunday, especially with all the stadium changes and things. So I have plenty of faith in them anyway that they won't be fazed by that.
Have you found yourself watching a lot more football than you normally would, Laura, and picking things up?
Yeah, it's actually, I've improved like my time watching it by understanding it more than actually playing, than looking on, we'll say. Like, you just pick up the small things that even that I didn't notice when I was playing myself that I could do for next year, which is a good thing. But also with Skip, like, I kind of had a say in, like, what maybe moving a girl here and there, and that's kind of going to help next year as well.
That sounds like a coach in waiting when the time comes. I wonder, will we see you on the sideline when you finish playing?
I don't know. My course at the moment is helping that part as well. We're doing a lot with coaching, and we have a Made to Move programme where I have to coach my sister to keep up her exercise and things. So all of those things are adding up, but I don't know. I'll stick to the football when I get back anyway for now.
And how is your sister taking to being ordered around by her coach?
She likes being organised. She's after starting her job with Deloitte now. So she's delighted. She has the office set up and everything.
Well, that's great to hear. Listen, Laura, everybody in the Big Red Bench at Cork's Red FM wishes you all the best in your rehab, and we can't wait to see you back out on that pitch next year wearing that Cork jersey and doing what you do best, which is play intercounty football. Thank you for taking the time to come on the podcast this week.
Thanks, Ger.
The Big Red Bench. Game on. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Cork fullback Roisin Phelan plays her club football with St Bridget's in Dublin. The intercounty defender has proven one of Aoife Fitzgerald's most reliable players during the 2020 campaign and cannot wait for Sunday's All-Ireland decider.
Now, Cork fullback Roisin Phelan played an integral role in Cork overcoming Galway at Croke Park last in the All-Ireland semi-final, and she's also been very influential in the two previous wins over Kerry and Cavan. She joins us now on the Big Red Bench Ladies Football Podcast ahead of an All-Ireland final appearance against reigning champions Dublin. Roisin, how are you?
Good, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Good to talk to you again. First of all, congratulations. You're in an All-Ireland final. It wasn't easy. An empty Croke Park, what was that like from a player's point of view?
Yeah, you know, it's good to get to play there, first of all. You know, it's a fantastic pitch and it's where everyone wants to play. So it was good to be able to get a dry run there as such before the final. Yeah, it is a bit stranger to play in front of an empty Croke Park. When we've been playing there in finals before, it has been obviously very full, and there's a great atmosphere there, and it is a bit stranger hearing the echoes around the place. You know, and Martina doesn't need much help getting her voice heard, but when it's echoing four times around you, it's something else.
Galway posed your strongest test to date, but I was very impressed with the your full back line and the half back line's ability to turn over possession and win tackles. It's something you've clearly been working on, and it's going to be very, very important going to that final.
Yeah, like, I think, to be fair, our defensive coach Connor's been doing a really good job in kind of getting us the time of our tackles right, make sure we're doing it correctly, and that's obviously starting to show, so we're really happy with that.
For you, this is a unique situation in that you'll be facing potentially one, if not two, or a few more club mates from St Bridget's in Dublin.
Yeah, bit of a mad situation.
How much are you looking forward to those 50-50 tackles?
I'd say there'll be a few hit both ways, but no, as in, look, we've been giving each friendly ribbing all year about playing on different teams, and, you know, as in, there won't be much said between now and then between us, but I'm sure there'll be plenty said on the field.
Indeed. We spoke previously and you had been away for a while from the intercounty setup, and you spoke to us and spoke to us here on the bench about how much you enjoyed being back and it being part of your life. You could never have envisaged, though, the year that you've encountered, the way the intercounty season has gone so late because of the pandemic. But now, when you've had a chance to stop and think, you're in an All-Ireland final. Is it hard to believe? Is it hard to grasp? Or are you just living for the moment?
Yeah, look, as in, we weren't really sure if we were ever going to get here, you know. There was a lot of work put in earlier in the year, and we weren't really sure if the fruits of that labour were going to come to be, you know, that we were actually going to be able to get to reach the field. And it's really, really good that we finally got there. I think it's a relief to everyone involved.
How much are you looking forward to an All-Ireland final appearance at Croke Park?
Yeah, like, as in, you can't really put that into words. It's what you prepare for all year. It's what you, it's what all the dirty runs are in winter time. It's what you do when, with your nutrition all throughout the year, the gym work, all the sessions you don't want to do. This is exactly the reason that you do it, you know. So it's really exciting to be able to get back there again.
There seems to be, you would expect anyway, between the experienced players and yourself as part of it as well, a great camaraderie in this squad. It's quite intense because there's 35 to 38 players going for 30 places, let alone the starting 15. But has that intensity helped you?
Yeah, of course it has. You know, then there's a lot of youth brought in, and you know, they've done a really good job at driving everything on, and they're really threatening places, and it's very intense training, and that's exactly how you want it to be coming into a match like this.
You've covered some mileage this year as part of that, being part of that squad. I would imagine, does it? I know it matters, but when you've gotten to a final, though, the reward, we're not going to preempt what's going to happen in the All-Ireland final, but the reward for getting to an All-Ireland final, considering the amount of mileage you've put in, must be very satisfying.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, as in, you wouldn't commit to doing the amount of mileage that I'm doing unless you really think that you have a chance, and I've really enjoyed it, and yeah, the long road back up to from Cork to Dublin isn't humongously fun by yourself, but you know, you get yourself through it for days like this.
Evie Fitzgerald has been a big influence on you, and certainly on the Cork team. How important has it that he's still at the helm, and that when you came back?
Yeah, you know, like, continuity is key, and he's been there for a number of years now, and he's done a really good job. This is his third final in 5 seasons, so, you know, that kind of speaks for itself. Really glad to have him on board, and he's done, like you said, he's been working really hard with us, and it's been great.
And just finally, Roisin, there must be great excitement at home with you playing in an All-Ireland final so close to Christmas as well, obviously, and a high-profile game against the Dublin team. It looks like it's going to be an absolute Christmas cracker, to borrow a cliche, between two of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, like I said, it's always great to get into Northern Ireland, and it's really good to share it to people that you loved, you know, and they put in nearly as much effort as we do. They make as many sacrifices as we do, so it's really good to be able to share that with them. Unfortunately, this year it'll be a little bit different, but I'm sure they won't mind, as long as they bring Brendan Martin home.
The Big Red Bench. Game on. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Orla Farmer could play a vital role in Cork's All-Ireland final meeting with Dublin this weekend. The Middleton stalwart remains one of Evie Fitzgerald's most versatile players. Farmer is looking forward to the All-Ireland final, as is her number one fan, Sheila Bells.
Orla Farmer, it has been quite a busy year for you, both on and off the pitch, but here we are coming up to Christmas and there is an All-Ireland final to look forward to against Dublin. First of all, congratulations on reaching the final. How excited are you at the moment, and how flat out are things?
Thank you, Ger. I'm delighted to be on. I'm absolutely buzzing. Like, little did we know, I suppose, that we'd be playing an All-Ireland final Christmas week. If anybody said that to us last year, I think we'd just put the eyes up to heaven. But no, look, it's absolutely fantastic. And I suppose, you know, it's been such a difficult year, I suppose, both on and off the pitch for many players as well. So it's a nice treat now to have an All-Ireland final to look forward to, especially against the Dubs now up in Coker. So it's brilliant. Like, there's a good buzz in camp and everything. You know, we had a great win there against Galway in the semi-final. And the spirits are high now, looking forward to the game. It's been a strange year. You know, it's been busy. And I think just with the uncertainty at the start of the year, you know, will we get a championship? Will it go ahead? What if we play and it gets cancelled? You know, all these questions at the back of your mind. So, look, very, very grateful and extremely excited now. It's not every day you're in an All-Ireland final. So, we'll certainly, you know, look forward to it now and enjoy the build-up and give it socks on the day.
Exactly, that's all you can do. You're certainly going to have to do that, because you know from your time watching and coming up against Dublin, the two of you know were pretty much the two form teams of this year's championship, so it's fitting that you're both in the final. But you've been raising your game with each passing round, against Kerry, against Cavan, against Galway. You've got to go up another step now again.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, look, it's always a great test against the Dubs, and I think we've seen that over the years. Such small margins, really. Come All-Ireland final day, semi-final, All-Ireland final day, it's only ever, it seems to be a point or two or three between us. So, you know what, look, it's going to be tough. Like, it's from start to finish. And I, like, if anything, it's, I suppose, we're quite underdogs coming into it, because I know Dublin are going for a 4 in a row as well. So I think that gives us more incentive now, and that gives us more of a bite and hunger to kind of get back to play and to win in Croke Park as well. So look, undoubtedly it's going to be a massive game. Like, it's going to be very, very tough, and it's going to be a massive test for us. And I think, like, all of, you know, I suppose it's a whole panel game as well, and I think just the support and everything like that, and all of the panel and management will hopefully get us over the line now. And as I said, we'll go all out now, hell for leather, and right to the end.
That's all you can do. You mentioned the panel, and from speaking to Efi and Paddy in the build up to the final, one of the hardest things they have at the moment is picking the 30, let alone settling on a 15. What it has shown me, though, over the last three games, as you know, because you've come on and made an impact, if you don't start, you don't know if and when you're coming on, but you're going to have to come on and make an impact. Such is the intensity in competition for places. Is this the strongest squad in terms of a Cork inter-county team that you've been involved with?
Yeah, like, to be honest, you know, we've a really dynamic team. Some of the younger players coming up as well are fantastic, and they really kind of bring that energy, you know, revitalising the team as well. So it's fantastic to see some of the minor girls coming up over the last few years as well. And, like, as you said, you know, there's no team picked really, and the serious competitiveness at training, and we're all pushing each other on as well, which is fantastic. And I think, personally, I think, you know, we do have one of the strongest teams this year. And, like, as I said, the dynamic is very good. And, you know, that bite and that kind of competitiveness to get a game and to come on and to make an impact, as you said, like, that's always in the back of your mind. So I think not only, like, does it spur you on individually, but collectively as well as a team. Because we want to do it for each other, and we want to win, and it's a team game at the end of the day. And, like, as you said, it's quite disappointing for some of the girls who don't make the start of 15, but not a mind the start of 15, mm-hmm. not make the panel. So you know, of course it's going to be competitive, but look, I think that's what's going to get us over the line, to be honest. And I think we'll need that support. And, like, even playing, I think, up in Croke Park the last day, it was so eerie and it was so quiet, and we're usually used to a bit of a buzz in a crowd. But, like, even just the subs and all of the girls, like, all of the panel made such an impact. And just that kind of shouting from the sideline and that support as well, all plays a massive role. In terms of playing now in the All-Ireland final. So yeah, look, I mean, it's a competitive game, and we're all fighting for our places, but I think there's a good momentum now, and there's a good buzz, and hopefully we'll click on the day up in Kroger.
Indeed. Can I just ask you, because you completed a PhD this year, and congratulations again on that. Has football, especially at this time of the year, been a release for you and for people on the panel who are working? I mean, you don't normally play inter-county, let alone club football, this late in the year. So as much as happy as supporters of the Cork Ladies football team are to be able to see it and read about it and watch it, what about you as a player? I mean, it must be unusual, especially like the other night in training when the rain and the cold temperatures, as different as it is it still a welcome release?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, sport gives you that release in general, you know, to de-stress and to kind of clear the mind and the body as well. So, I mean, obviously, it's very strange, all right, playing and training in icy conditions and in the rain and whatnot. But it kind of reminds me of college football, because this is the kind of time you'd be playing college football, you know, in the muck and in the rain and things like that. But look, as I said, like, just given the circumstances with this year, I think we're all just grateful to get that release, and even just for the social element as well. You know, lockdown can be quite lonely for people, and it was very hard, and I suppose it was a test and the motivation to train on your own and kind of keep up that momentum. So I think really, like, obviously for the release of it all, but I just think the social interaction is also important. And, you know, sport gives that opportunity for players and for people to come together and connect, and that kind of sense of community and that sense of belonging. So I think that's been really important over the last few weeks, few months, really. And that spot will get us over the line as well. That spot will help us going into the All-Ireland. That, look, knowing that we're grateful now, although it might be -1 degrees or it might be raining mad on the day, like, look, we're there, we're in it together. And I think we'll just give it everything now, given that, like, it was so uncertain at the start of the year. Yeah. But certainly, I think just the de-stress and the social impact of playing sport at this time of the year is so vital.
Well said. Final question, Orla. For people who don't know, can you explain who Sheila Bells is and why she has become an Instagram sensation? Because she has more followers than I have, and I want to know what her secret is.
So for those of you who don't know Sheila Bells is my grandmother, my mother's mother, and she's like my bestie. She's like my biggest fan, to be honest, her. She's great support, and she provides all the entertainment at home, but also for my friends and for those on Instagram who follow her page and keep up to date with her daily inspiration. I suppose, like, I just have a great connection with her, and in terms of sport and stuff, she'd be like my number one fan and loves the Cork Ladies footballers. If you go into her house, you'll see pictures and newspaper clippings all over the wall and all over her fridge of the Cork Ladies over the years. So yeah, look, I mean, it's a bit of fun, really, and it's more of just kind of the idea of her kind of spreading some positivity and some inspiration. And I think, you know, it's garnered some attention from my own friends and family, and I decided to start an Instagram page for her, just to keep up the spirit, really, of people, and to kind of, you know, spread some positivity, especially now with COVID-19 and whatnot. So Sheila Bells will be tuning in, no doubt, now for the All-Ireland final.
Well, all the best to her, and we look forward to her updates on Instagram, and also to yourself, Orla, from everybody in the Red FM, the Big Red Bench. All the best in the All-Ireland final.
Thanks a million, Ger. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Off the pitch, this is the most hectic time of the year for Cork LGFA PRO Peter O'Leary. But the backroom team member cannot wait for this weekend's final and a chance to reclaim the Brendan Martin Cup.
Yeah, we're getting to the getting very close to an All-Ireland final, and for the coaches and for the players, it's a very, very busy and hectic time. But for the PRO of the Cork LGFA, Peter O'Leary, I would imagine it is quite an even busier time, because you have an awful lot of responsibility around this particular final.
Yeah, Ger, I suppose we're busy with regards to the press and regards to dealings with yourself, and Aoife very kindly gave me the job to deal with the press and the build up to this game, so which I was thrilled, of course, to receive. And I suppose it's just it's a great position to be. If you asked me on Sunday morning, would I have been in this position this evening here in Clodove, I'd have taken the hand off you. So yeah, I'm delighted. Look, it's great to be in the final, and we're looking forward to it immensely.
Now, it's a big disappointment that we won't have a full Croke Park. It's a big disappointment that we won't have a big match atmosphere for an All-Ireland final. But it does take away one major headache, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suppose I was in work today, my paying job, as I call it, and I was receiving phone calls and trying to sort out bits and pieces for training tonight. And the one consolation that I could find was that I didn't have to be dealing with tickets, because I reckon I definitely would have quit, I'd say, if we had tickets. But I suppose, look, on the flip side, it's disappointing. The one aspect is that, you know, the parents of the players and the loved ones of the girls who would be the people that would be driving them around, possibly since they started playing with Cork under 14s, like, they're going to have to settle to watch it on the television. And while we're all very privileged to be able to play this year and to represent our county and look forward to the game, it's obviously a big disappointment for those people that they can't be there to share. And I suppose you can use young Erica as an example. You know, her first day playing in Croke Park last Sunday, and her parents, who obviously travelled up because she's too young to drive, had to sit outside in the car. And like, I just felt it felt a bit wrong, but look, I suppose we have to follow the guidelines, and everyone has to be looking after each other and staying healthy, which is the main thing. So hopefully next year we might be back in another final, and we'll have a crowd next year, maybe.
Thinking positive. Just on that, Cork getting to the All-Ireland final is fantastic. It's a lovely boost for people, especially at the time of the year, for the true supporters of ladies football. What would a win do for them?
Oh, sure, look, I suppose, I mean, a win would be fantastic. you know, in the noughties, it was Cork who were at the top of the Christmas tree, I suppose, if you want to put it that way. And now, you know, Dublin have been in the last 6 or 7 finals and have won the last 3 or 4. So, I mean, it goes in cycles, I suppose, and we'd be just hoping that maybe Dublin's cycle might be coming to an end on Sunday weekend. Maybe we might be starting a newer one again. And but it would be fantastic. But look, at the end of the day, it's the people I just mentioned, the players and their parents and their loved ones and the members of the management team who are out there now tonight, and they're putting in ferocious work and huge effort and sacrifices, and a lot of the girls are travelling from up the country and down the country for training. So to finish up in Ireland on Christmas week, I'd say, would be in a strange year, it'd be one that they won't forget anyway.
Ladies football as a whole, though, over the year, it's been a very, very unusual year. You know yourself, from being a referee, from coaching, it's now getting more coverage than it ever did, good, bad or indifferent. But what's important is that continues into next year, whenever that season starts. So irrespective of how this All-Ireland final goes, Cork ladies football needs to build on it no matter what.
Oh, look, I mean, I think I was listening to the Power Man there. I think he's the manager of the Tipperary men's team on the way down and from our game in the car on Sunday. And I thought he made a very valid point that Tipperary need to keep moving forward, and they have a habit of maybe taking 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. And while Cork ladies, I suppose, aren't renowned for going too many steps back, I think it's important that we keep moving forward and that you keep looking to build on what you have. And I suppose if you finish an ordinary campaign in September and October, you'll gather before Christmas for a debrief of the season. And this mightn't be possible this year, because if the National League is going to start in February of next year, as it seems like it is the case, then, you know, there isn't going to be a huge amount of downtime. So, you know, you'd be just hoping that the momentum that the players have gained this year will carry into next season, and that they'll we've plenty of young talent, and that they'll be pushing maybe the more inverted commas, the more experienced players for their positions next year, you know.
We've been talking a lot about Efi and to the players themselves. Communication is not a problem on this team. They're a good team of talkers. Have you encountered that after training and before training?
Well, I definitely encountered it after training when they're roaring and shouting, looking for hot drinks and stuff. But I know that, on a serious note, is, you know, you've huge leaders. If you look at it all the ways from Martina in between the sticks, all the ways up as far as Dirren in the full forward line, and like, you can pick any player out of any line, and I think that's a great sign. And you've got a couple of players who maybe mightn't verbally be the most vocal, but, you know, when push comes to shove, they back it up with their actions, and I think that's very important too. You'll get a mixture of, I suppose, you get a mixture of attitudes and a mixture of characters in any team, and I think it's important that the players are a good mix, and there's loads of leaders in that group, and a lot of players have a huge amount won, so it's vital that they encourage and bring along the younger players, which I think they're doing hugely as well, you know.
And just finally, from your own point of view and the backroom team's point of view, logistics wise, an advantage to have played at Croke Park last week and to see the surroundings, especially for players that aren't used to it, is that a big plus when you're going up there now again for the All-Ireland final, that you know exactly where to go, you know, where the small little things that people don't see behind the scenes before a final are very, very important?
Oh yeah, I suppose, look, I mean, there's no point in saying anything else, that obviously, like, you could look at last Sunday as a dry run as such, if you want to put it that way, and like, anything that needs to be tweaked, we'll tweak it, and anything that's worked out well, the lads will obviously will look for it. And Michelle and Sheila Dinhy, the COVID officer / the mum of the team, you know, she looks after a lot of the stuff for the ladies, and if there's anything that we need to do or she needs to do, we'll help out as best we can. But I think by and large everything worked out very well for us last Sunday. And of course, obviously, look, there's an awful lot after being said and printed in the last number of days over what went on before the game and everything else, but I mean, we're just concentrating on, I suppose, the good points that the players did, and also the lads will be working on the things that they need to improve on to try and have them ready for Sunday weekend to have a rattle off the Dubs, you know.
And that's it for another Big Red Bench Ladies Football Podcast. Remember to subscribe to the Big Red Bench on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can also listen online at redextra.ie. Don't forget to tune in to the Big Red Bench with Rory O'Hagan, Colm O'Sullivan, Valerie Wheeler and guests between 6 and 7 p.m. on the radio every Saturday and Sunday. Follow the Big Red Bench across all our social media channels, as well as visiting our official website, redfm.ie.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.